Okay. Hi, Bev.
Hi.
This is Kathy Kramer, and it is Tuesday, March the 13th, 2017. And I'm here interviewing Beverly Moore as part of the First Unitarian Church Oral History Project. And we are meeting in my home at 1606 Rosewood Avenue. Thank you, Beverly. So let's get started. Before we started talking, you told me a little bit about yourself and also a little bit about your experience with interviewing other people. So I'd like to talk about that a little. I'd like to record a little bit about that. But first of all, why don't we begin by you telling me a little bit about your background, where you were born.
Okay, I was born in Fort Myers, Florida.
Okay.
Lived there till I was 11. Moved with my mother after she was divorced and remarried to Miami, North Miami, where I went to junior and senior high school.
Mm-hmm.
Have a little sister. Had some older half-siblings. Went to college.
Where'd you go to college?
Emory University.
Okay.
Majored in biology, graduated, didn't know what to do with a biology degree.
Mm-hmm.
got a job working in a research lab at Emory for a while and didn't like it. I was being somebody else's hands. Went back to North Miami because I missed my little sister. Stayed there for about 6 months. Got a job teaching school as a substitute. And the first day I substitute taught, I finally knew what I wanted to do. I wanted to be a teacher. That was it. It was
okay.
Because there I had always grown up saying I would never be a teacher because that's what my mother was. Anyway.
Yeah.
So then I thought, oh my gosh, I don't know enough biology to be teaching these kids any mm-hmm. biology. So I taught them 3 months. So I went back and got a master's degree in biology, which really actually did have a big influence on my understanding of science
mm-hmm.
as a scientific thinking, that kind of stuff,
mm-hmm.
rather than just memorizing the parts of a flower, you know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
In the meantime, I had this boyfriend at Emory, mm-hmm. and he came to Kentucky, and he invited me to come with him, and I did,
mm-hmm.
and got a job teaching.
Mm-hmm.
And I taught for 4 years, and then my husband was assigned to Korea, so mm-hmm. we went to Korea for a year.
For a year.
And then we came back and I got a job teaching
mm-hmm.
for 2 years,
mm-hmm.
and then I got pregnant, and then I started, and I had started having children, had 3 kids,
mm-hmm.
and when my youngest one was in college, I mean in elementary school, I decided I needed to update myself because the science in the meantime is changing.
Yeah.
So I went back to the U of L to take science courses and update my information. I took things like teaching laboratory science, education courses and teaching science. They were excellent.
Mm-hmm.
And some plain and regular science courses. And then one day the dean said to me, you know, you're not working. Why don't you apply for a graduate assistantship?
Hmm.
So I did. And then I thought, well, I guess I should apply for graduate school just in case I want to use these courses.
Right.
For a doctorate. And then they gave me, without even applying, they gave me a fellowship where they were paying everything.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And I had to teach 2 courses. And it was great fun.
So you were teaching college courses, and you said the University of Louisville, right?
At the University of Louisville. Teaching Education 101.
Right.
And so I did that, and it took a long time. And I was working on my dissertation, and for some reason I was unhappy with it, and I was also having problems with depression.
Mm-hmm.
And I got a, let's see, was that when I got a job? I did at, went back to teaching part-time because I was teaching at the university part-time and teaching at the public schools part-time, and that was too much because 2 part-time jobs are like more than a full-time job. So I quit that. And then anyway, I ended up seeing an advertisement in the paper for someone who knew something about CARA and education and this kind of stuff, and I applied for it, and that was the job doing research.
Mm-hmm.
At which point I was all but dissertation,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Mm-hmm.
And So I did that for 3-4 years.
Mm-hmm.
And then AOL started cutting back, and they cut me first, and they cut some of the others. But anyway, and two of them kept on longer. Then I ran for school board, was elected to school board for 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
I thought I'll get my dissertation done while I'm on the school board, but I didn't.
You were kind of busy, weren't you?
Well, it's just other things. Anyway, so then I finally was not reelected, and so I went back to U of L and started a new dissertation.
Mm-hmm.
I finally got it done.
Well, you did.
In 2003.
Congratulations.
Thank you. It took forever. And they said at one point they're going to make me graduate student emeritus. Anyway. And I worked at the university for a year or two after that on a grant, you know, mm-hmm. that stuff. Anyway, and then at one point went back working for Patty, who had moved on to, anyway. And,
Patty Canapple.
Canapple. We were mm-hmm. we're doing research and program evaluation, that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I've done until I kind of quit.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
And when did you become involved with
First Unitarian?
Right.
Okay. When I came to Louisville in 1961. I think I came in 62, and I must have gone to the church. I never remembered seeing Philip Smith, so I must have started in September of 63.
Right after David.
Going to church, and I joined the church in September of 63.
Mm-hmm.
And went for 2 or 3 years,
mm-hmm.
and then quit, and then we went to Korea.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
And then we came back, and mm-hmm. when my son was about 2, mm-hmm. my first son, mm-hmm. I started back to church.
Why did you start going there?
Because when I was a freshman in college, I realized that I didn't believe all that stuff I learned in the Baptist church.
Uh-huh.
and it was kind of funny because I figured that out my freshman year, and then I was slated the second year, which I did. I wrote their newsletter for the Baptist, the Baptist Center, while I was no longer believing it. But anyway, so then I had a friend, and she had grown up in the Methodist church and was a big church worker. I mean, just like I had been.
Uh-huh.
And she also had this questioning of her faith. She came home and she says, "I found the church for us." And it's the Unitarian church. So we went. I went one time in Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
But it was a hassle to get there. Mm-hmm. It was one Unitarian church.
Oh, so you were living in Atlanta at the time?
Yeah, that's where Emory is.
Oh, Emory, that's right. Yeah, okay.
So
right.
I went to...
This is why you're in college, okay.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Well, I was in college. A freshman year, you know.
Yeah.
So anyway, I went one time in Atlanta. I thought, yep, I'm a Unitarian. So I became a Unitarian uh-huh. in Atlanta. I never went to church another time
uh-huh.
until... I came to Louisville,
mm-hmm.
and I guess I didn't even go the first. I got here in 62. I guess I started in fall of 63 going. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
And I really liked David Brown. And, you know, I kept going. He was wonderful. He was really interesting to listen to, and mm-hmm. really nice guy.
What were some of the memories that you have of those early days at church?
Well, it's hard to remember all the back then, you know?
Yeah. Well, let's see, 63, that was the year that Kennedy was assassinated, that people usually say, and it was before the Vietnam War, and did your children participate in
Well, they weren't children during, I didn't have children then. I didn't have children until 69, he was born in December, so we didn't come back until probably I came back in fall of 71.
Oh, okay. Did your husband ever go to First Unitarian?
He has been to First Unitarian, I think, 3 times.
3 times?
The first time was when he spoke at the forum. You remember
and
the forum?
And your husband's name's Gerald?
Gerald.
Right, okay.
You remember the forum?
No, you don't remember the forum.
Nobody talked about the forum?
Not much.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, tell me about
that
the forum.
That was a major... In the 70s?
In the 70s.
60s, 70s, 80s, that was a major thing at the church.
Mm-hmm.
It was during the hour before church.
Right.
So the people brought their kids to Sunday school, and then the adults went to the forum, and it would usually be a big crowd.
Mm-hmm.
And it would be interesting, just, you know, people, speakers.
Speakers, uh-huh.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So Gerald was the speaker one time.
Oh, okay.
Isabel Silverman was the chair of forum, and she got Gerald to come because she knew him.
Uh-huh.
And So that was first time he came. Oh, but we were married at Thomas Jefferson Unitarian.
Oh, okay.
Uh-huh. I didn't like that minister at all.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, which we did, which I was really terribly sorry for. It was after I had dropped out of church about a while.
Mm-hmm.
And we got married. I guess I didn't go that year. It was 66. I must never have gone to church that year.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't want to get married in that great big auditorium because there was nobody coming.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know anybody to
come. The auditorium at
First Unitarian.
The big sanctuary.
The big sanctuary.
Oh, yeah.
So I went to TJ because it was small.
Smaller, yeah.
Yeah, it was smaller than it is now. It was in the old, what now is the social hall, was the sanctuary.
Okay.
Got married there, yeah.
Okay.
And then, you know, later I hear that David Brown was very upset. Why did Beverly do that?
Oh
my God. And I dearly loved him. And I found this out after he had the heart attack and died.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway.
So what was he like as a minister?
I can't remember details. I just remember I liked his preaching.
Okay.
He was very interesting, and I liked the man. He was delightful.
Mm-hmm.
There was all the gossip, of course, that... See, I knew Eric Tackow. I know all the gossip. but even back then, I knew his wife was a lesbian, and I found that fascinating.
Mm, mm-hmm.
And so here we have this lovely person, and he's got this wife, and she's having affairs apparently with women.
Oh,
which was kind of interesting.
Yeah.
But that's their marriage, you know.
And
back then, this is open times, you know, whatever.
Right,
so,
open.
No problem.
Open relationships.
And
open
David
marriages.
Was no problem, you know, never himself was involved in affairs or anything.
Uh-huh.
I'm sure he'd would. And and she was she already had children. The children weren't his, I don't think. I don't know how many, she had one maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, that's all I know about that.
Okay. And then...
So that's all I know about him.
What about the memories of the any of the church services? Any aspects of the church services?
When David was there, no.
Or any memories of any of the particular members that were there? You mentioned Eric Tackow.
Yeah, but I know Eric until later.
Oh, okay.
The time I was there, I went to a... I don't have a lot of memories of that. There was a young woman, Pat somebody, who I still see from time to time, who I think I met during that time.
Uh-huh.
But she dropped out of the church. I've seen her sometimes.
Okay.
Pat, I can't remember her last name. I went to the play reading group one time. They had a play reading group. Went to that. That was interesting. There were a lot of people there. I don't know why I went only one time.
Uh-huh.
I don't know.
What about the forums? Are there any particular topics that were covered at the forum that were especially memorable?
I have to remember
memorable?
All the way back from 1960, 70? Really?
I guess...
63? Yeah. No, I don't remember. In the 70s?
All right. You remember
The only one I remember, and I was chair, and it was when... It was much later on when we were trying to revive it. You know, we went to the West End, and when we came back, there's not much there about the West End Church.
It's in there as part of the fire.
Okay, mm-hmm. Anyway, so the forum kind of went by the wayside. When we came back, people kept, and the RE was not as big as it had been in the past, and we're thinking, well, we need to have the forum. They had the little RE lessons, like in the library and stuff like that, but people went in front of us, and they kept talking about it. I said, all right. If you want a forum, I'll chair it, and we'll see if it works. But I think people have quit going to forums because at the time we used to have it, and sometimes it was even on the radio.
Yeah.
There weren't 1,000 forums going on around the city.
Right.
But in the 80s, I guess that was when it was, must have been after we came back, so that would have been the 90s, right?
89, yeah, the dedication was in 89. So it was in the 90s, probably,
I guess it
when you
was
came
in,
back.
Yeah, after we came back, I said, okay, I'll do the forum. So I set it up, and I did have Mazzoli come, and the place was packed.
Packed, okay.
Absolutely packed.
Mm-hmm.
Now, not for anybody else.
Did you have it in the sanctuary?
No, we had it in the social hall.
The social hall, okay.
Yeah, but it was a packed social hall.
Yeah.
I mean, Uh-huh. So that's the only one I really remember. Mm-hmm. That when Gerald went, and mm-hmm. I guess he went in the 70s sometime. Mm-hmm.
So
the other time you went, Gerald went, was when his daughter got married there.
Uh-huh.
And when Mel McLaughlin's memorial service was there.
Can you tell me a little bit about Nell? You were close to Nell, weren't you?
Extremely close to Nell.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I did the memorial service.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember. She was one of the first people who came up and was so gracious to join me when we were thinking about joining.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She always kept trying to coach me, which I needed, you know? I mean, she kept trying to teach me how to ask people questions instead of making statements.
You know. That Southern gentility?
Oh, I'm telling you.
Or just being Nell, that was...
Well, it's being a woman and a Southern woman, and this is how you do it.
Mm-hmm.
And she did it well, but I wasn't up to it.
Mm-hmm.
But so anyway, we got to know each other, and I had known her. I think I knew her first through League of Women Voters.
Oh, is that right?
Even though I became a church, because when I came to church in the 80s,
mm-hmm.
and until Richard was there,
mm-hmm.
so 70s, 80s, I seldom went to church because I really did. Bob Reed either made me cry or bored, and I didn't want to cry.
Uh-huh.
And so I was part of the kitchen congregation. Have you talked about the kitchen congregation?
No.
You don't know about the kitchen congregation?
No, I know nothing. Just keep going.
Kitchen congregation was it was an institution.
Uh-huh.
And it was people who didn't want to go to the church service and sat in, call it the kitchen, it was really social hall, mm-hmm. you know, because the kitchen and social hall were attached there.
Mm-hmm.
And where the patio is now.
Uh-huh.
And so the kitchen congregation would sit in there and talk, and I used to sit in there and talk with Bill Dolan.
Uh-huh.
And Richard Crum.
Uh-huh.
Irv Silverman, I think.
Uh-huh.
Can't remember who else, but the two that I remember the most were Richard Crum and Bill Dolan.
Isn't that something?
And
was it organized? Would you come with a topic or you
no,
just
everybody
whatever?
Sat around and shot the bull.
Shot the bull. Okay.
Yeah. But it was like an established thing.
Yeah.
And I very soon started teaching Sunday school. I think the first year I taught, Kevin was in a kindergarten class.
Mm-hmm, that's your
and
son.
He was four, mm-hmm. but he was so smart and tall, they put him in kindergarten. Mm-hmm. And so I started teaching Sunday school, and I taught Sunday school all the time.
Really? And that's regular. When Ann was there, Ann Miller?
Ann Miller was the RE director.
Was there an RE director before Ann Miller?
Yes.
Okay.
But that was before my time.
That was before
and
your
I
time.
Don't know her name, except I know that she, what people have said, I think they said she smoked,
uh-huh.
and she was kind of a character,
uh-huh.
but the ministers all protected her. Like that's all I know.
Okay.
So
Ann Miller was there for a long time.
Long time. But she was already there when I started teaching in Sunday school.
Oh, okay.
Now, I started taking Kevin, so in 71 or 2, whenever I started taking Kevin,
uh-huh.
maybe he was two, maybe it was 72 fall we came.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember the first time we went to Otter Creek Park, he was two. Mm-hmm. Just Kevin and I went with the group, you know.
So the RE group went to Otter Creek?
No, the whole church goes
the
to Otter
church.
Creek.
The whole church, okay, yeah.
Otter Creek, the summer thing.
Okay, yeah.
But that was
the summer outing.
I'm just tying the time so I get it straight. That was the first year we went when he was two.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess I did come back the fall before that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, somewhere in there.
Okay.
So she was already the RE director, but I did not start teaching right away, I guess, because the first one I really remember was teaching the kindergarten.
Mm-hmm. Did you always just teach kindergarten, or did you teach other?
I taught all the grades, and then I kind of focused in on middle school, junior high, because that's really hard for people to teach.
Uh-huh.
And if you get lay people in there who don't understand about that age people,
uh-huh.
they feel like failures, and it's all their fault that these children are acting the way they're acting. And it isn't. That's just the way they are,
uh-huh.
especially Unitarian Universalist children.
Uh-huh.
And so you have to be pretty... tough skin to teach that group.
Mm-hmm.
So I would I've taught that one. I remember I taught third and fourth. I love that curriculum that we used to have. Man, the Meaning Maker was a great curriculum.
Mm-hmm.
And the year I was pregnant with Jocelyn, and she was born in February, and I was teaching Man, the Meaning Maker, and we were learning about the Aborigines in Africa. We did it. It has three sections. One was Native American, Aborigines in Africa, and something else. Mm-hmm. So we're teaching about, and these are, I think, were the Pygmies, teaching their mm-hmm. culture and all that stuff, and how they the women go off and dig a hole in the ground to deliver the baby,
mm-hmm.
and so forth, and squat.
Yeah.
So one Sunday in February, I went into labor, and I had to call Ann and tell her, of course, that we were teaching her. And I got it. She took so much longer than Kevin.
Mm-hmm.
And I went in labor, and then I quit. And mm-hmm. I mean, it was a mess. Anyway, so I got up and squatted, seeing if
oh, really?
Which I've gotten from the...
From the lesson.
From the crib.
Isn't that something?
And it hurt like hell, if you want to know.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Isn't that funny?
I stopped it real quick, but it did.
Anyway, yeah.
Anyway, that was what I was teaching that semester. Mm-hmm. So I taught all those... So that was before I taught the junior high.
Mm-hmm.
And... I think my first junior high had Julia, it was the one with Julia Izetti in it. And by then we had 801.
Mm-hmm. What was 801?
The building.
Oh, the building address. Okay.
Isn't
yeah.
that our address? 801?
809.
809. Okay, we
yeah.
had 809.
You had the, what's now the Haywood House.
Yeah, we had 809 by then.
Yeah.
And one of the questions is about that, I think.
Yeah, I know. That's what, now 809, it was it originally purchased with the intention of it being mostly RE, or was it going to be
whatever we want to use it for?
Whatever. Okay.
So we had ACLU offices were there.
That's right. That's right. I remember Susie Post.
And the help
there.
Office was there.
Yeah.
But the back was all renovated and designed with a playroom for the children.
Okay.
You know that?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And interestingly, the junior high. mm-hmm. You know that little porch-like thing behind next to the minister's office? Behind where the secretary is now?
Yeah.
That was where I had to teach the junior high class. We had so many kids, and we were so crowded.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
The junior high was on that little porch.
I'll be darned.
Now, that means that all those other rooms, you know, are already taken.
Yeah, yeah.
So the junior high was in the little porch, and it's just burned in my memory. And I kept trying to do things to get them interested, and they're like, ooh.
Yeah.
And finally, Julia said, he looked at me, she says, it doesn't matter what you do, we're not going to like it.
Oh, it sounds like her.
I just loved it.
Isn't that funny? Isn't that funny?
Yeah, anyway.
So did the teachers have any input into the design of the renovation?
Somebody did, I didn't.
Yeah, you didn't, okay. All
somebody
right.
did.
Uh-huh.
And, yeah.
So that was, I think that was around what, when was that building renovated?
Right after we got it. It was like done in the, pretty soon.
There was some talk about it in the late 60s, but that was before your time.
Oh, they didn't buy it then.
No, they didn't buy it. They were talking about it.
That was later.
It. Yeah, okay, so you
okay, so Julia is younger than Marina, and mm-hmm. Kevin is younger than Julia.
Uh-huh.
So Julia's 13. That makes Kevin probably around 10-ish, uh-huh. 9-ish maybe.
Mm-hmm.
And so that would have been about 1979 or 80,
yeah.
the
okay.
early 80s.
That's what I'm thinking of. Yeah, because yeah. Phoebe Gibson's papers have a lot of information in there about that.
Right.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So it seems like you keep over your lifetime, you go back, you've been involved in teaching in various capacities. And
that was a real, see, I really miss teaching, so that was my big outlet.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I really enjoyed doing that. It was great.
I'd like to ask you too, this is kind of a segue or tangent, mm-hmm. about what other organizations. I know you've been involved with a lot of outside organizations outside of the church. You mentioned the league.
More involved in the league than anything else.
Okay. And can you tell me a little bit about what you've done with the League of Women Voters over the years? Or any?
Well, the thing with the league is you show up.
Uh-huh.
So I guess it was in 1970, because it was when I was no longer teaching.
Yeah, okay.
And I had Kevin. Mm-hmm. And so you show up and you say anything about education. Oh, you're now, so immediately I was education chair. They don't know me from Adam.
Yeah.
You know, but okay, I'm 32 years old, and 31 years old, and I'm education chair. Mm-hmm. But we were all about that age. It was fun.
Mm-hmm.
Because what it was these college-educated women
mm-hmm.
who wanted to do something worth doing besides, you know, we weren't, none of us were going to stay home and knit.
Just, yeah, right.
Although
right.
a lot of them knit, but they would knit at least.
Yeah,
the
they wanted something in yeah, addition.
Something
to that.
That's important.
Yeah.
So then I, you know, I did all kinds of things. I was education chair, I was units chair, I was vice president of this and that, and then, mm-hmm. you know, then I was chair of this other thing.
Mm-hmm.
So until I went back to U of L,
mm-hmm.
I was very involved. And then when I started back at U of L and got in graduate school, and especially when I started into the doctoral program,
mm-hmm.
I didn't go to LEAP much anymore. Kept my membership up and didn't go, you know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So it was a worthwhile experience.
Oh, yeah, it was fun. It was great.
Mm-hmm. Did you learn a lot from through the league about issues and how to form opinions and how to do the research and things like that?
Yes, and the most important thing as far as personally was to learn to write.
Because
I got through
write.
You know,
oh.
this prestigious university, and I know how to write.
Yeah.
And the only, I would always have so much trouble with papers. I could write essay test
uh-huh.
because you had to do it.
Yeah.
But the problem was not that I couldn't write. My problem was I didn't think I could.
Oh.
So if I had to do it because we're taking a test, I get it done.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't know the whole business of how you write. But in the League of Women Voters, you're uh-huh. writing with a purpose.
Uh-huh.
You know enough about, you have to have a purpose to write.
So what did you write?
You write op-eds, or you write letters, and mm-hmm. you write things to persuade.
Mm-hmm.
The purpose is to persuade somebody,
mm-hmm.
or
mm-hmm.
by probably information or whatever it is.
So this was for other members and the community as well, like in the newspaper and
yeah, or
things
to the,
like that?
To the board members, school board.
School board, okay.
Yeah,
I mean,
I still
right.
got stuff, you know, from...
Oh,
we
okay.
wrote, yeah.
So there's a link between your involvement with the league and the school board. It kind of and education. They yeah. all was like it was like a natural
yeah.
progression.
Well, that's what when I went to school board, I think I've been preparing for this all my life. Between
yeah.
the you know.
Yeah. Yeah. That's yeah. interesting.
Anyway, so that's what I learned. But of course, obviously, you learn a lot about how things work and the whole thing. It's wonderful. It was very educational.
Mm-hmm.
And so. Mm-hmm. That's what I did.
What about the school board? What can you recall that? I'm sorry. Go ahead. You were going to say something.
I was going to say one of the things was involved. Started out in my education involvement there, but then the league works in concert with other groups, and we got in. There was something called Quality Education Begins Today, and then we were part of that. And then what was it? There was a group that Georgia Power started to save the desegregation. The League of Women Voters was extremely active during the deseg time.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And
in what way?
And mostly because I was pushing it to be very active
mm-hmm.
and supporting the busing and the desegregation and why mm-hmm. busing was necessary.
Mm-hmm.
And you shouldn't. So we were so active and we were taking part in with the NAACP and all this kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why Dot Ridings ended up being called to go up and testify for the congressional hearings on busing.
I remember that.
Yeah, well, that was because I sat there and said, you should go do that. Yes, go up there.
Yeah.
I remember sitting at the board meeting, and I said, we should be up there speaking. And they're like, Beverly, really? And, but anyway, Dot did contact him, and she did go.
Mm-hmm.
That was great because it came... I guess mm-hmm. Mazzoli got us up there, so yeah, Mazzoli was
mm-hmm.
was he was good.
What were the meetings like in the league during the busing times?
What do you mean?
I mean, like how did the members get together and talk about the issue of busing and hash it out? And did you write about it?
We wrote about it. We had meetings about it. We worked with other organizations.
What other organizations do you recall?
Well, there
you
was
said the NAACP.
Well, it went just there was. During the in 75, we weren't necessarily working with other groups, but a lot of people were working, but we were promoting it. Actually,
uh-huh.
a friend and I did a study, just two of us in the league,
uh-huh.
about the desegregation of Jefferson County schools.
Mm-hmm.
And we discovered what they were doing by putting all the black kids on one bus and the white ones on another, and how they were fooling around with things over there in the Southwest area.
Uh-huh.
Kind of cheating.
Uh-huh.
And we wrote a report, which I cannot find.
Mm.
And the...
You mean they were segregating the school buses so that they were end up at the same school, but they were...
See, that's why I wish I could find that, because they... Mm-hmm. They, as I understand it, they were putting kids on different buses, even
based
though they lived in the same neighborhood. Yeah,
based on race.
Yeah,
and they
they also were gerrymandering the schools.
Uh huh.
So, and so we wrote a report on that.
Uh huh.
And that got to the Chamber of Commerce.
Uh huh.
And they got concerned about it right away, which was interesting. And others, and so then eventually it built up, where people went to a court case.
Uh-huh.
We weren't involved in the court case, but we were the ones that came up with that issue of, that kind of got some other people involved.
So this happened after the Gordon
had... No, that was before, all before that.
So this was before
Gordon... This was 16, Gordon, in seven, it was early 70s we did that, before DSEG.
So this
DSEG.
Led to
it
Gordon's
led
decision.
It led to other, it led to the NAACP and Susie Post and all these kind of people getting...
Uh-huh.
I mean, it was... It got some people who were pushers and shakers involved. That's
right.
All I know. Yeah, that
right.
report did. Yeah.
Huh. Huh.
Yeah.
So this was so there was integration in the schools before busing, but there were still signs of segregation, like
Well, the Louisville schools were desegregated in 1956.
Oh, that's right. Okay.
And the Jefferson County schools were supposedly never segregated. I don't know exactly when they did it or when they would, but yes, the kids were supposed to be going to all the same schools, but they were really segregating them.
How was the integration within the city limits before 75?
After 56, kids could go to any school they wanted to in the city, because there were no buses.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the city used TARC.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay.
So... You could go to any school you wanted to go to, especially high school, and kids did.
Hmm.
They went wherever they wanted to go and took the bus, or their parents took them, or whatever it went on, which was great because it was a small school system.
Mm-hmm.
So you had Aarons and Mail and Manuel and Atherton and Shawnee and Butler, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Would Wagner be in there?
No, that's a county school.
That's a county school. Okay, that far out. Okay.
And it might not have been Butler, but there was one in the over that way. It might have been Western High School.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was whichever one's closer in the city. That's the one it was.
Yeah.
Okay. And the problem is that then the schools were segregated by residents. Mm-hmm. So yeah, there were black kids going to Atherton.
Mm-hmm.
I remember in 68 or 69, the president's, or 70, somewhere early on, the president's student body was a black kid.
Mm-hmm.
And this was before busing or anything, but he was one of a minority of kids going there.
Mm-hmm.
I had what's her name? Maddie Jones.
Mm-hmm.
Maddie Jones sent all her children to Belknap and to Atherton.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Because she knew they'd get a better education there.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm teaching. See, I started out at Shawnee Junior, and the first year I was there, it was about 40% black and 50% white, because you just went to school where you went. The kids came from the neighborhood, and maybe the elementary and middle were assigned by where you lived. I'm not sure, but you didn't have to go there. You know, like Maddie Jones brought her kids way out here.
Mm-hmm.
The next year it was 50-50. And all white teachers, but the first year, they all teachers white. Second year, they had the first black teacher.
Mm-hmm.
And,
Yeah.
So
it looks
that's desegregation.
That's
off the topic of First Unitarian Church.
we talk about everything. That's right. We got in. This is important. This is important because it's part of you and you're part of the church. And
So from the time desegregations, I understood when those black kids came to Shawnee Junior, they were going to an all-black school.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them were behind, and that's when I realized they aren't learning as much.
Mm-hmm.
But they took off because they believed they were smart enough to do it, and they just bloomed.
Mm-hmm.
Well, in the meantime, white people are moving out, and the white kids are not the East End elites. They're working class people from the West End.
Mm-hmm.
But most, all kinds of people were in the West End at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And
So that was like the about like the later years of urban renewal when there were a lot of
I think it was urban renewal was over. It was the desegregation of schools that what caused the white flight of Shawnee, I think.
Yeah.
And because black kids went there because they were coming from areas around there. So why were we talking about that?
Because I was asking you about some of the outside groups that you
League
of Women Voters and all that.
I was always involved in desegregation schools. It was like the core, my gut issue was desegregated schools, because it seemed to me if the kids just went to school together, things would be so much better. All this, I had grown up in the South, all this discrimination and all that stuff and people being behind. And I saw, when I was a kid in Fort Myers, I thought, for some reason, and maybe because we had a maid that was smart as a whip, I said, black people are just as smart. They just aren't allowed to do these things. That's why they don't, you know? So I early on saw that was a problem. And it was one that just worried me to death, I guess, as a kid. All these people that discovered it late, I don't understand how they didn't see it when they were younger. But anyway, So then, yeah, that's what happened in the West End. In the meantime, Male is gradually becoming black. And Manuel, you know, it was, and...
So were the city schools eventually losing the...
Well...
The balance between white and black over time?
It was, by the time 75 came, it was 50-50 black and white. And there were concentrations of white. You know, Atherton was always predominantly white.
Okay. The city and the county merged.
Well, that was because of DSEG.
Yeah, right. Okay.
City and county school systems. Yeah. And the reason they did was because the city could not desegregate by itself. It knew it would just lose everybody. And so when it came down to it and when the court was going to act, the city dissolved its, the city school system dissolved itself, which meant it automatically became part of the county school system.
And that happened before Judge Gordon's decision?
I would have, there's a book I can give you that has all that. I cannot remember the details of.
In what order things happen.
I think Judge Gordon said you have to do something and then they did it. I think that Judge Gordon said this desegregation has to happen. Now come up with a plan. And what's his name? Oh my God, he was so smart. There was a black assistant superintendent in Jefferson, in Louisville City Schools. And he was the main person behind the development of the plan.
Wow.
And the plan was wonderful because everybody who didn't live in a school that was already desegregated naturally by the who was going there was bused. White kids were bused, black kids were bused in equal numbers. Extremely fair. Now, because there were twice as many, there were like 25% or 30% black kids and 70% white kids, obviously, if the equal numbers are going to have to pass each other on the buses, they're going to be, black kids are going to be bused more often than white kids.
Right.
So whites were bused 2 or 3 years, and blacks were bused 5 to 8, I think, depending. And that's how it started in 75. And then Betsy Hayes was chair of the education committee, and she and I worked really hard on, and she could be really close friends with the superintendent. And we worked out a plan. So originally, you were bused by your alphabet. Do you know all this?
Probably. And I remember that. Yeah.
And so you went once in elementary and once in high school, once in secondary. So M's went like in 4th and 10th or 9th. I don't remember. Anyway. And we realized it would be better if kids just went for 2 years.
Right.
So Betsy and I influenced the superintendent, and they redid, Betsy mostly, redid the plan so that you went 2 years or 3 years. So if you were whites, so if you went in elementary, you went 2nd, 3rd, or 4th, and 5th. And then in middle school, you went 3 years, 6, 7, 8. If you were bused in middle school, you were bused 3 years.
Okay.
And if you're bused in high, and it was 2 years and 2 years in high school, and it was much, and that was a better plan. Still alphabet, and so that was better. But then in '84, they decided they were going to do something to really change it, and that's when the league joined in with the other groups, really fighting the changes. And I really, the group that was most active was Quest, mm-hmm. Quality Education Starts Today, or some such thing. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And Quest was the one started by Joyce Powers. What's her first name?
Georgia
Powers.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was active, and mm-hmm. Jim Chatham from Highland Press and mm-hmm. other people.
Mm-hmm.
And we were, that was a very active group, and did manage to stop them somewhat, but keep the elementaries and middle schools.
Mm-hmm.
The elementaries desegregated by alphabet, and then the middle schools. The middle schools were just easier to desegregate.
Hmm.
The high schools were the problem. And
why was it easier to desegregate the middle schools?
Because everybody's ego is tied up in where they graduate from high school. So that was... And middle schools just... Almost, I mean, there never was a problem with desegregating those.
Hmm.
They were easier.
Hmm.
And of course, elementary people, oh, my baby, blah, blah,
yeah.
blah. I remember when my kids went to BIC. Fortunately, my kids came up in the steel alphabet and came through the desegregated schools, which we don't have anymore, you
mm-hmm.
know,
mm-hmm.
hardly.
Mm-hmm.
Or we don't have it for poor kids. We have it for
yeah
middle-income kids who are desegregated, black kids and white kids, but not.
Mm-hmm.
And at BIC, one of the mothers whose child was, she says, oh, it's just so great here. I love it here. But I have to take, she wanted to leave her son. See, a lot of people who were bused would stay there because
mm-hmm.
we loved BIC.
Mm-hmm.
And she had to take him back to the neighborhood school because her husband,
mm-hmm.
you know, was a bigot.
Yeah, didn't want to do that. Oh, gosh.
You know, it was interesting. It was an interesting time. And
yeah.
we had hope back when we used to have hope.
Uh-huh.
And now we've come to the point where we elect somebody but Donald Trump. But anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and then since then there was the Supreme Court decision, and then it seems like it's always changing.
Gordon's decision was the thing that was fine. That desegregated the schools.
No, I'm talking about the most recent.
But the most recent one, yeah, was
it essentially did away with.
Well, we had been we thought we were voluntary since 1980.
Uh-huh.
Jefferson County Schools was operating on the assumption that it was voluntary. Because in 1980, the court removed itself from the
really?
Overseeing it. Yeah.
1980, they removed it from overseeing it, really?
That's why they started changing it in 84, say.
Oh, okay. All right. Because they realized that they could now because the court wasn't overseeing it.
Yeah. So they thought everything they did was voluntary since 1980. And so then when it went back, mm-hmm. yeah.
Was that about the time when they had...
But we were still... But what happened was then you were going by percentages in the school. And
yeah.
So people were being assigned by race or allowed in by race.
And then now... and about what time... I don't have children, so I wasn't a part of this directly, but I'm aware that schools are there are magnet schools and traditional schools.
That all started after 84.
84.
Well, not traditional.
Okay.
The other stuff. The traditional started right away, and it was a way to avoid busing. So they rode a different bus.
Yeah.
Instead of having to wear the bus to the black kids' schools. I mean, that was so big. But anyway, what turned out in the long run that it ended up being very mostly segregated because a lot of black families like the traditional approach.
Yeah.
And
right.
So it's not the problem now that it was then. But what happened after the deseg was that immediately everybody started trying to get an advanced program.
Mm-hmm.
Like Jefferson, the city didn't have an advanced program.
Hmm. Mm-hmm.
Didn't want an advanced program.
Mm-hmm.
But then
mm-hmm.
everybody felt like they had to get an advanced program to mm-hmm. get the best education.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just a mess.
It's gotten very complicated. It's a mess now.
People are always looking out for the best for their kids and.
Yeah.
People see the world as a, what do you call it, zero-sum game?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Anyway.
Mm-hmm. And so what did you learn anything in particular by being on the Board of Education?
Oh, God, I'm sure I did, but that's really off topic.
This all has to do with your involvement with education. And you were an elected member of the Board of Education in, that was in the 90s, wasn't it?
86, no, no. 96 to 2001.
96 to 2001.
Well, it was 96, 97, 98, 99, 2000.
Are you glad that you served?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And why are you glad that you served?
I think I was good for the Jefferson County School Board and the schools.
Uh-huh.
I think I helped hold the desegregation plan. What reason I did? See, Quest,
mm-hmm.
84,
mm-hmm.
and we stayed together. And when and why was it? Quest must have been later when they were full. Yeah, 84, there was a agreement, and then it came up again in the 90s. That's when Quest was, in the 90s.
Mm-hmm.
About 1990, they started trying to mess with it again and change it and make it
mm-hmm.
more amenable to the white folks who wanted special mm-hmm. for their children.
Mm-hmm.
That's when Quest was, in the 90s. And so we were afraid of what the board was going to do
mm-hmm.
because they were starting to try to mess around with it and change it and da-da-da-da and magnets, all this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And so...
Mm-hmm.
I ran for the school board because we didn't think a second district school board member was going to be firm or do anything for DSEG, even though she said she did, because she would do anything Carol had said.
Mm-hmm.
And and she made the mistake of doing something that, I don't know if you remember that Gail Henson went into to Highland Middle and complained about a teacher or something like that, and mm-hmm. it got in the newspaper, and a board member's not supposed to do that.
Oh, okay.
I mean, it was very inappropriate, and people were very put out. That's why I got elected.
Uh-huh.
So I said, she's going to be vulnerable. We have to run somebody that's going to protect the DSEG.
Yeah.
Well, I tried to get Jim Tatum to run, and he wouldn't run, and I tried to get nobody would run. Okay, I'll do it.
You'll do it, yeah.
I'll do it.
Mm.
It's my role in life. I do the things nobody wants to do. That's what I do.
What are there any memories of Georgia Powers that you'd like to share?
Oh my God, she's wonderful. Yeah, well, she started that and she chaired it, and she was wonderful to work with
mm-hmm.
and extremely supportive. And then she's one of the reasons I joined the NAACP and went
mm-hmm.
when Raul Cunningham
mm-hmm.
ran, because she was like first vice president, but we were co-presidents. I mean,
mm-hmm.
we did whatever Georgia wanted, and
mm-hmm.
So she was, you know.
Was a good organizer. She was articulate.
Yeah, she was.
She was warm. But,
oh yeah,
you know,
yeah. She's great. I really loved her.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
yeah. Then I quit going because the NAACP. Don't put this in.
Right. I'm sorry.
Never mind. Anyway. Anyway, I didn't feel like I was doing anything much down there except listening to people talk, so I quit.
Yeah. Well, let's see. Let's get back to the church, We're in 1985, the church burned, December the
right.
13th. Now, what do you remember of the fire?
I remember about getting the telephone call from...
that's what everybody talks about, the telephone call.
From Kate Allison. Is that her first name, Allison?
Pat Allison?
No, the daughter.
Oh, I don't know
Katie,
the children.
Katie.
Okay.
Katie Allison, she called me. Uh-huh. 4 o'clock in the morning, Katie Allison calls me. The church is burning.
Oh no.
Anyway, I didn't go down. I went to the service. We had a service on Sunday. And
you had that at Spalding?
It was at Spalding across the street in the big auditorium.
Right.
It wasn't in the basement. That's where we had meetings later, but we had the big meeting.
Oh, it was across 4th Street in
mm-hmm.
there. Oh, okay, in that building. Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And, we went to church and we just all talked about it. And then people said all kinds of things, cried
mm-hmm.
and all that stuff. And the only thing I remember, which is the thing that Claudia remembers,
uh-huh.
is Jeff Runge going down there and saying it was all his fault because...
Well, I did not know that.
Because he didn't go to church, but he complained about going to Sunday school, and he was so sorry.
Oh.
I don't remember his exact words, but it was basically...
He was a little boy.
He was like nine.
Nine.
I didn't do what I was supposed to do, and I should have gone to church, and it was my fault.
Poor
Jeffy. Oh, my God.
Oh,
dear.
My
bless
gosh.
His heart. That was sweet.
And so were you involved in different ways with
I didn't do anything in... I gave a little bit of money.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I went to we had cottage meetings.
Yeah.
I did what I had to do. I went to a cottage meeting.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's all I did. Claudia did everything.
Yeah.
You have to talk to her about
it. Yes, we've interviewed her.
Yeah.
And then the West End Church, you all were
there. Now, there I was very active.
You were very, what'd you do there?
Here's one of my favorite memories.
Uh-huh.
So we went down to the West End Church, and Gordon Garner and
yeah.
I
uh-huh.
went out, and the first day in the front There were steps coming in. We went down outside and greeted everybody that came in.
That was nice.
We were so thrilled and so friendly. Yeah.
And you were, the church met there from like 86 to 89. Yeah.
It was quite a while, yeah.
Yeah, it was the, I do have...
That's when I got a lot more involved in the church. Mm. And part of it was because it did go to the West End. And big old D-Sick person, you know. Mm-hmm. By damn, I'm going to make sure, do everything I can to help this church get through it.
The people we've talked to, I really enjoyed their time there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And actually, see, that was when Richard first came. Well, they came. I did not go much. I only went one time to the basement, I think. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh, I know what it was. See, I used to not go to church. Remember this? I taught Sunday school.
Yeah.
I'm not sure why I didn't like
it. You didn't like the services.
I didn't like the services.
Really?
Huh. Okay. And
so that's the kitchen congregation, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I went one time to hear Richard. I thought, yeah, he's good. Mm-hmm. I guess in the basement, and then I quit. Mm-hmm. And then we went down to the West End, and why wasn't I teaching Sunday school? Because I did a lot of times. But anyway, mm-hmm. I would go down for the whatever we were doing before church. We have mm-hmm. RE group or adult RE party. Mm-hmm. And then I would stay out. And then I started listening. Because here's the sanctuary.
Okay. Here's drawing the sanctuary. Okay.
Front steps.
Uh-huh.
And over here is an opening that goes into the social hall.
Okay.
And there are steps here.
Uh-huh.
Going down.
Going down into the social hall.
In the social hall.
All right.
I would go and sit here.
Uh-huh.
And listen. And it was fascinating. I really liked listening to what was going on. And finally, I gave up and went into the church.
But
that's when I started really appreciating the services.
Services.
And I was listening to, and it was Richard.
Richard.
It was Richard. He was so, and he's still alive, but he's not preaching.
Yeah.
So good. So I started listening there. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then I went on the board for the first time there, too. I was secretary of the board or something like that.
Mm-hmm. What other committees have you been on have you been on everything at the church?
No, I haven't been on that many committees.
Uh-huh. You were on the board, I know.
Oh, I did the canvas year after year after year.
Oh, you did? The canvas.
Oh, Lord, yeah.
Oh, that was a hard job.
That was my thing.
Yeah.
I don't know how. Kay Woodworth and I did it a couple of times.
Mm-hmm.
And then I did it with some other people. The first time I did it, here we go, that's how I got into it.
Uh-huh.
So I didn't work on there, I was just secretary of the board and very active. And I taught at Sunday school. So I remember teaching the middle school, the middle school by this time, junior high class. Mm-hmm. And Jeff Runge and some others were in there. And they wanted to make, I guess it was the youth group, not mm-hmm. the Sunday school, that's what it was, the youth group. They wanted to make a movie.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it ended up being a slasher movie. And Ann Miller didn't like that.
Funny.
That was so funny. Oh, well. Anyway.
Oh.
So.
And in those days with the canvases, that was when you would go to people's homes or meet with them and conversations? This was to get people to pledge?
Well, here's what happened. That I don't remember how they did canvas the first 2 years we were down there.
Mm-hmm.
I remember, I think at some point, the first one, and it might have been while we were there, went to one where they were doing The Wizard of Oz, and Isabel was Dorothy. Did anybody mention that to you?
No.
They did Wizard of Oz, and Isabel was Dorothy.
Uh-huh.
And it was a production, and it took place like at the Arts Club or somewhere. I think mm-hmm. it was the Arts Club.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not sure the date of it exactly.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't here.
Mm-hmm.
But then when we got ready to come back to the church,
mm-hmm.
Eric wanted to have... And I don't know how Eric knew, I don't remember why Eric knew me, but anyway,
mm-hmm.
We were coming back to the church and Eric was in charge of the canvas that year mm-hmm. and he wanted to have the event mm-hmm. being the first time we all came in to see the sanctuary.
Oh.
So the canvas dinner, but it wasn't a dinner, it was a reception.
Yeah.
Was the first day into the sanctuary, seeing the sanctuary.
So this was before the official dedication even?
Yeah.
Wow.
It was before we started.
So this was the church members' opportunity to see the sanctuary for the first time.
Yeah, except those who had been, you know, working on it. But those who had, all the rest of us.
Wow,
so,
what an
experience. He asked me to handle the party.
The party stuff. Part?
Yeah. Uh-huh. And so that's how I happened to get involved in that sort of thing.
Oh, okay.
Okay, because Eric did that, and it was, I'm sure, very successful.
Yeah.
Because everybody was very anxious to see it.
Yeah.
And I remember walking into that building, and I'm like,
Oh my gosh. Yeah. I can't imagine how you all felt to see that church.
Yeah, it was amazing.
Yeah.
Because I had not been down there, because I wasn't involved. Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Mm-hmm. So you did canvas work, and you were on the board, and you were...
So I did canvas work then for... I was never on RE committee. I taught Sunday
you
school.
Taught,
so you wouldn't
taught
do
Sunday
both.
School,
you didn't
right.
do both, and I'd rather teach than be on a committee.
Yeah, be on a committee.
Mm-hmm. What committees were on? I don't know. Oh.
It's well, those all, are the
it's
big
all blur.
Ones.
Well, I did the canvas, and it's on finance. Not on finance committee, but on stewardship type stuff and that kind
oh,
of
stewardship.
Thing.
Yeah.
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 But I did the canvas, I don't know, 5 or 6 times. If mm-hmm. you go back and you look at the record, you'll see it in there.
Mm-hmm.
I wrote a thing up one time mm-hmm. that had all the canvases as far back as I could find the information on who did what, how much was raised, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, we've got that.
Yeah.
We missed talking about Bob Reed. What can now let's see, that was... yes, you all overlapped. If you joined and you had, he was a...
When I came back with mm-hmm. Kevin, he was there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And
he was active. He and, it seems like...
I remember he was active in civil rights because I didn't
yeah.
know, but I didn't even know he was. I went to testify at something and there he was.
Really?
You know, I was very proud. I was glad to see him because
yeah.
I had been so active through League and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And he was there to testify. And I don't remember what it was, but that's mm-hmm. the kind of thing, stuff, you know, you did so much of.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He was involved with the, I know.
He was a counseling for abortion counseling.
For abortion counseling.
And,
yeah. and he had the place for the conscientious objectors mm-hmm. and MCC, the Metropolitan Community Church.
I wasn't at that meeting, I don't know why, when the community church came.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently some people, they weren't worried about the people being gay. They were worried about their children being exposed to Christians. I need to go to the bathroom.
Sure.
Here.
Hello, this is part 2 of my conversation with Beverly Moore as part of First Unitarian Church's Oral History Project. My name's Kathy Kramer, and it is still Tuesday, March the 13th. 2017. We're having a very interesting conversation. So we were talking about Bob Reed and the Metropolitan Community Church.
And I didn't go to that, so I don't know anything about it.
Okay.
I just know what people have told me and,
right.
and that they were there. And
uh-huh. And you were there during the debate over the sanctuary movement?
For that one, I went to the meeting, and I didn't always... I only went on Sunday mornings.
Uh-huh.
Okay?
Uh-huh.
I didn't go any time during the week or anything else. I went on Sunday mornings until, I guess, after Eric got me into the...
Right.
into it.
Right.
Well, and until I started going listening to Richard talk, but I was still bringing the kids down for Sunday
mm-hmm.
school.
Mm-hmm.
And...
So you did attend
so
that
I
meeting.
So I didn't go to the one about Metropolitan Community Church coming to the church. I didn't go to that meeting.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think I ever went to annual meetings at first. I mean, I don't know when I started doing that.
Okay.
And now, of course, I'm a religiously go.
Right.
and...
Well, then...
But I went to the sanctuary meeting, and I was very influenced.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And I went to that because I thought it was a really important issue. And that was why I went to something. I guess it was after church, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. So you can look that up anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever it was, I did go. It was probably after church.
Mm-hmm.
And part of the discussion. And I when I went there, I was in favor of it, but I ended up voting against it.
Mm-hmm.
And I voted against it
mm-hmm.
because of the Millers.
Mm-hmm.
And because they said all this stuff about Gene would get fired from his job and
mm-hmm.
all this stuff, which turned out not to be true
mm-hmm.
if we voted that.
Mm-hmm.
And mm-hmm. I was sorry in retrospect, but I was young and innocent. I know what I was doing. And
mm-hmm.
I voted against it
mm-hmm.
because of that, because
mm-hmm.
he was going to lose his job if we
mm-hmm.
supported
mm-hmm.
it.
Hmm. And so that was the you. So we've been talking about the Bob Reed's involvement with social justice issues. And then it seems like Richard Beale also.
At the end of the sanctuary thing, though, we vote to provide money for them or something.
Oh, really? Okay.
Something. There was something we did.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. I don't remember what it was. Yeah.
So when Richard came in, he, you know, what everybody's talked about, that he was being interviewed to become the settled minister right at when the church burned, and he was enthusiastic about coming, even more so because he would be a part of it.
He wasn't even going to apply until he heard about that.
Yeah, I know.
That's what Joan said. I mean, I'm getting that information from either she or him.
That's what he said. And then he, through his tenure from 85 or 86 until 2001, he was involved with a lot of social justice.
Well, for heaven's sakes, yes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
He was the secretary of the NAACP, and he you know about the big conference or whatever it was, the big hearings they had, and the social justice director from the UUA came down.
Oh, really?
And we had this big interfaith
gathering
testimonies or something like that, because I spoke at that one. In fact, there's a booklet that has all the testimony which I still have.
I will look for it.
Let me know if you don't have it, because I think it might have two.
Okay, great.
And it has all the information about who it was and what they did, and he got that all together. And there were two of them, and then the first one took place at Spalding or somewhere. It wasn't at our church.
Hmm.
But the second one there was another one that took place in our sanctuary.
Mm-hmm.
So there were two of those open, gatherings about why schools should be desegregated or something.
Oh, okay.
And the second one might have been about in general. I don't remember.
So the topic was why schools should be desegregated?
Well, I don't know that one, the topic per se. That's just what I said.
Okay.
I will dig it up, and I will let you know exactly what
okay.
it was.
Okay, all right.
I will loan you my copy, or we copy it or something.
Okay. And then he was also involved with the church becoming known as being designated a welcoming congregation.
Well, we went through a whole process. It wasn't just him.
Yeah, the church went through a whole process.
Right.
And that was a designation by the UUA. Can you tell me about what the welcoming congregation was? It's my understanding.
It was deciding to be a welcoming congregation after you go through and learn about gay.
Meaning that the church was open and welcome to gay and lesbians. Okay,
yeah,
right.
To homosexuals.
Yes.
Whatever. This was before we knew about transgender or
right. They
whatever.
Added all the initials. Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah.
It was only gay people then.
And then
homosexual.
He also was there when the controversy over polyamory began.
Well, he was when it began.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He was because it. But he was almost gone.
Yeah.
He had already decided to go.
Mm-hmm.
And he'd already been to New Zealand, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was in process. My opinion is that one reason there was such a brouhaha was because the stability, the minister who had been, and he had been, it was very much a church, minister-oriented church.
Mm-hmm. What does that mean to you?
That the minister has a lot of prestige and is very involved in the directions the church goes.
Okay, all right.
That what he wanted, we did. I mean, that's why we became a partner church.
Mm-hmm.
Richard wanted it. Okay, we'll be a partner church.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Mm-hmm.
And so my opinion is that people saw the power foci changing, and everybody's afraid somebody else is going to take over our church.
So there was,
and
no
part
leader.
Of it was because. Mm-hmm. He was still there, but he was leaving, and everybody knew it. It was probably worse than after he left.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just talking about people's reactions.
Right.
But a lot of it was because the board mishandled the whole thing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I was only there for part of it, not for all of it. But I know that they decided to do this and this and this. And Richard and Doug Taylor was supposed to write a letter to the people who were complaining about polyamory, and they never did. And why? I don't know. Did Richard say anything about it? I don't know. And so that instead of saying this is the way it's going to be and this is what's happening, everybody just keeps going on and on about it. And so that's what happened. And it, you know, it was very sad that it became such a... I mean, I think he... And I think he would have been more active if it had happened when he wasn't in the midst of leaving. That
and,
was,
and he wasn't in good health either. That was...
Well, he was going to have to go off to New Zealand.
Yeah. and...
I wasn't much about this stupid.
What,
that's not the church's problem.
You mentioned the partner church. Can you tell me about the partner church?
Well, in about 1990, I guess, or something like that, Richard getting ready to... How would it have been that early? Oh, he came back from General Assembly. That's what it was. So up at General Assembly, there was all this stuff going on about what was happening in to the Unitarians in Transylvania, which is part of Romania.
What was happening?
Well, you remember Ceausescu?
Okay, I remember that, yes.
Okay, so in 1989...
Oh, that was terrible. It was awful.
Yeah, well, and what happened was Ceausescu, who was Romanian, had I mean, it was a long history. He imported a lot of Romanians into the former Hungarian parts of... which is Transylvania. So that instead of being about equal, they were overwhelmed with Romanians coming in. And he also took away the church's land... All that kind of stuff. Ceausescu, and he was going to, they were going to build big aqueducts or something, and then they did get one, and they destroyed one village by flooding it with a lake or whatever. So there were all kinds of things going on like that about eliminating the non-Romanian Orthodox churches. So the Hungarian churches were the Unitarian and the Lutheran and the Reformat, which is Calvinist, and the Roman Catholic, and then there's the Romanian Catholic, and whatever. So, they were threatened. The churches were really threatened by Ceausescu, and people have been getting really worried. And the Reformat, which were organized more coming out of Holland and Europe, were really supporting their churches. And the Unitarians are thinking, "Do we have any friends anymore?"
Yeah.
So he, and it was either 89 or 90, and he was got involved in that. And then the revolution took place in Romania, and they killed Ceausescu. But still, the Hungarians felt like they were being threatened, I guess. Anyway, so that's why, and they had been under 30 years of communist rule, and the it's devastating what that does to a country. Because when I went over there in 2004, so no, 1993. You know, people were afraid to say anything out in public at all. I had to be really quiet. We had to be quiet when we walked because people were in the habit of everybody reporting on everybody. You know, like a I don't know why communists are like that, but that's how it, you know, I guess if you're running a dictatorship, that's what you do. And God, hope we're not going there. So,
what did you do in your 1993 visit? Talk to people and
My God, there's a whole book on it down in the library. That ought to be part of your history thing. It's a this big pictures and everything we did in 93.
Oh, I've seen that. The pictures, yes, I've seen that.
And the text and Kim Johnson wrote part of it. She's a really good writer. Kim should be in your thing. She was a DRE. Also Abby Potter.
I remember them.
And Kim, and they all, everybody has their strengths. And one of Kim's was she was a really excellent writer. And she was also very good at some other things. Anyway.
So you went to Romania?
So anyway, so he went, and a lot of Unitarians were talking about it, and they formed this group. And then this people, and then they called themselves, they decided they would create partner churches. Sister churches. We had sister churches back in the 1920s in Transylvania. In fact, our church was had a sister church, but we never could find out who it was. If you find out in your history, let us know. and because we were into this gender crap at that point, they didn't want to call them sisters because that's sexist. which is really a problem when you do it in, when you then are imposing your American vocabulary on Hungarians who do not distinguish between brothers and sisters. It's the same word.
Is that right?
Yes. So, you got...
Yeah.
So people think they're being so liberal and a progressive, and they're totally ignoring the other culture.
That's right.
It just drives me crazy. Anyway, so they call it partner. Well, partners are like business partners. There's a different word in Hungarian. It's sister is from family, which, of course, it's brother and sister. Sister-brother.
Yeah.
And that means family. It's not the same thing.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah. Mm. Anyway, so it started out as a sister church, which is just stating my opinion. There's nothing wrong with being female.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway. And
how long were you there?
Oh, we just went for 2 weeks.
2 weeks? And you stayed with families?
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. I was wondering. Most of the time. And we also... It was the greatest trip in the world. You should
really
go. Oh. You all should go. It won't be as great now, probably, but it'd be great in a different way.
Mm-hmm.
We stayed with family. In the first family we stayed, they were farmers.
Mm-hmm.
They had like a two-room house, three maybe, the kitchen and two other rooms. Mm-hmm. And they gave us a room, Kim and I, you know. Oh, my God. And they're sleeping on the floor in the kitchen.
Oh, gosh.
And, but it was... It was wonderful, and the mother was a computer, worked with computers down in the city. She was, did something on computers, and the guy was a farmer.
Uh-huh.
And so then we travel. You travel. I mean, you have to read the book. It's too long.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, we did that because he wanted to, and it was a great idea. I mean, we should have. It was wonderful. And those of us who went learned a lot. You learn a lot about religion, about your religion, about what's important about religion.
Mm-hmm.
And I brought some of it back. I mean, I think I did a good job. We had three communions that I was part of at our church. I don't know if you were there for them.
I don't think I was.
Mm-hmm. And I usually like to do it at Easter. Because what's Easter to us? Nothing, really.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Eggs and bunnies, no.
Mm-hmm.
So I did the Transylvanian Easter.
Mm.
And they do a communion. And communion is about comfort and sharing and heritage and... so didn't do it when Richard was there, because he would do whatever, but with Betsy and with Norm.
Betsy Sharman and Norm Stewart.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I thought there was another time. Anyway.
And what other things is a partner of one of
anyway,
the
Anyway, you really learn about Unitarianism and why, and you have to really accept the fact that Unitarians don't have to just believe like you do and be humanistic.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Because justice and tolerance and, what's the other one? Justice, tolerance, whatever, are all part of their beliefs too, even though most of them are theistic.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very Christian, or they use the Christian, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Nowadays, most of your young people are much more liberal about, because they're now being exposed to the rest of the world, and they're smart people.
Right.
But it's still a heritage thing, so, God is, who knows what you define. Anyway, it was amazing. And Joanne Johnson went with us. And I can remember Joanne Johnson getting up and walking out of church when Richard mentioned Jesus or anything.
Yeah.
And she... I've never said, Joanne, what did you learn from that? Because she went to all those things. And of course, it's in Hungarian, but still, it's very Christian.
Mm-hmm.
So it's interesting. Anyway.
Well, that sounds very interesting.
It's amazing. I'd love to go through that book with you sometime.
Okay.
Anyway, go on.
Is there anything else?
I mean, I have spent so long there. Go ahead.
Is there anything else you'd like to share about the church in the last decade?
But before we get there, I think you should mention Abby Potter, and she was there. And
yeah, you did. You mentioned her name.
Am I the only one that remembers that? And then
Kim John. Yeah,
really,
because
she
mentioned
we
have it.
She did, but she did wonderful programs.
Mm-hmm.
When you involve the children in the program, she's very creative, and and she did really wonderful things that way.
Mm-hmm.
She had difficulty with aggressive parents.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well. Are there any other is there anything else you would like to talk about?
Terry Borney.
let's do Terry. Oh, we had Terry Borney. Okay, Terry Borney. Now he was, it's my understanding that he was the music director?
Wait a minute, let's start.
Okay.
With, what's his name? Kimbrough. Do you know about, what's Kimbrough's first name?
Not George?
No. He was an organist.
Hmm.
Darn it. B.T. Kimbrough.
I think I know about him. Tell me about him.
Okay, he was a music director.
Right.
He was an organist. I don't know if he was choir director or not. Probably not, because he's blind.
I've heard of him, yes.
And he was a wonderful organist.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when he was organist, it's when they arranged to get the new organ, the Tracker organ. Which you've
organ.
Seen the pictures of in the...
Right, yeah. Right.
And Jasper Ward mm-hmm. did some remodeling at that time. I got this all from Guthrie Reck.
Okay.
Who is a big friend of mine, but he's the one that designed that organ.
What's his name?
R-E-C-K.
Oh, yeah, right.
Godfrey.
I have that name. Yeah.
Godfrey Reck.
Mm-hmm.
He designed, it was Steiner Organs,
mm-hmm.
but he came down and joined Steiner, but Steiner wasn't the designer that
right.
Godfrey was. Steiner did the tuning,
right.
but Godfrey designed and built mm-hmm. the organ. He had other people helping him build it, but he designed them, and they're beautiful if you've ever seen his organs.
Mm-hmm.
He also did the U of L and the Presbyterian Seminary, and yeah,
mm-hmm.
okay, you've seen the U of L.
Mm-hmm.
Well, ours was the first Tracker organ in Louisville.
Mm-hmm.
There was, he said they did one over in New Albany
mm-hmm.
first, but then this was the first one here. And then B.T. Kimbrough would do, I remember him playing concerts, and then they would be rebroadcast on the radio because he worked for WUOL or FBL, one of them.
Okay.
So that was his day job, B.T. Kimbrough's, was working at the public at the library station or something, but then
mm-hmm.
he played the organ. So anyway, okay. And Charlie Mitchell, because Guthrie always asked me about Charlie Mitchell, was
mm-hmm.
part of the music committee.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was somebody named Tom Byers, who I've never heard.
Oh, Tom Byers. I know knew a Tom Byers at University of Louisville. Yeah,
yes,
he was an English
one.
Professor. Maybe not the same one.
No, this one, what did he become? He had it in here. He was always in the background. He had been an organ builder, so he couldn't be on the committee.
Oh, okay.
But he just kept hanging around. He was from New England. He worked at American Air Filter.
Oh, okay.
I said, well, were there any women
uh-huh.
on the committee? He didn't remember any women being involved.
Uh-huh.
Which was true about the finance committee until very recently.
Yeah. So were you in the choir when this was going on?
No.
Uh-huh.
I was teaching Sunday school.
Uh-huh. And then Terry Borney was about that time?
Terry Borney was later. No.
Later?
Oh, my God. I don't remember them all. I do remember. Remember, were you there when we had Edward Sturt?
We joined in 96.
Yeah. Well, mm-hmm. Now I can't remember Sturtevant's first name. That's terrible.
Mm-hmm.
Very close to him. The minister, Thomas Jefferson.
Elwood,
thank you. I was trying to say Edwin, I knew that's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Elwood Sturtevant,
mm-hmm.
his former wife, his divorced wife, because they were married when I was first knew them.
Mm-hmm.
And then they got divorced.
Mm-hmm.
And she came and was choir director at our church.
Oh,
and
okay.
sang. She had a beautiful voice.
Mm-hmm.
So I know she was, and I remember before that, I don't know who the director was, but I remember this tall, beautiful black woman
mm-hmm.
who was a hired singer.
Mm-hmm.
You know about her?
Mm-hmm.
She was, so they had enough money to hire a singer,
mm-hmm.
hire voices for the choir, which was great.
Mm-hmm.
And, but I don't remember who all the directors were.
Mm-hmm.
But Terry Borney, I remember because, of course, I loved the Scott Joplin.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all I knew about him. I knew he was kind of weird, not sociable, that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
But then toward the end, I had several, there were a couple of events that were very upsetting and he
mm-hmm.
should have been fired.
Mm-hmm.
One, they had organized that he would have an hour or some such thing to practice.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
just a minute. Okay, Terry Borney.
So, mm-hmm. Anyway, they set time set aside, and Ray Cobbs had some kind of event or something she was working on and planning for, and it was supposed to happen in the sanctuary, and he demanded that he could have it because he was told he could have an hour, and he was just horrible to Ray. And I do not remember the whole conversation, but at one point I finally couldn't take it anymore, and I said, look, you're being rude, and we went on, and he, so that happened. And then I heard him being extremely rude, the same kind of thing about, this is my sanctuary, you have to get out, to a black family that was planning a wedding.
Oh, yeah, I've heard that story. Oh. Yeah, I've heard that story.
You didn't hear the one about Ray?
No, I didn't hear that one. So needless to say, he was a controversial figure.
Yes, yeah. And so we couldn't, I felt, okay, being rude and horrible to a member, maybe okay, not Ray. And, you know, maybe me, but not Ray. Anyway, but to outsiders who come in, and it was terrible. Anyway, so I was happy to see
him. Were you on the in the choir then?
No.
When did you join the choir?
I don't know. Jean Reed was still in the choir. Do you know Jean Reed was in the choir?
Yes.
She sang tenor.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, wow, okay. So,
But has it changed over the years?
Oh, sure. I'm sure it has. But I have only been going, I don't know how long I was. You know, what's his name was still there. The tenor that sings real well.
Not Frank Richmond.
No. Frank I knew, but I was never in the choir when Frank was the director. What we did? We had Vespers. You may talk to you about Vespers. They were wonderful on Friday nights.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Frank did some. They were wonderful. That's the kind of thing he's very good at. You know, he's one of these people who has some, it's really creative and gifted in some ways and can drive people crazy in others. And he's kind of an absent-minded professor. Anyway, but I knew Frank well, but I didn't, Richmond, but I didn't, I wasn't in the choir. And he's the reason we got the wonderful, just like B.T. Pimbrough was behind getting that wonderful organ, Frank was behind getting that wonderful piano.
Oh, that beautiful piano.
He was not the pianist then. Somebody else was, and Frank Barney was. But he instigated and made sure it was a good one. And that kind of thing Frank did, because he was just a member of the church.
Oh, okay. That's a beautiful one.
Yeah. What else do you want to know?
Let's see. My last question is, this is kind of a hard, not hard, but odd. Well, not odd. Anyway, what about First Unitarian makes you proudest of it and its ministers? And you can think about that for, what is there anything in particular?
Well, I think the minister is just part of the church, and what's so extremely important about a church. And the ministers have to be a part of, are an extremely important part of that, is being welcoming and open to everyone and to all kinds of thoughts and ideas. And that's getting back to polyamory, why it was such a problem with Richard being in the process of leaving at the time. Because I think if he had been another time, he would have guided us through that.
Right, right.
And that's why ministers are important. And they, you know, all of our settled ministers have been wonderful at that. And even Norm tried. You know, he did some good things too. Even though I was the one that negotiated the, the resignation. He was. He really wanted us to be active, important. He had that forum thing on abortion rights. You know, that the priest, the Episcopal priest, what's her name? Lucinda Laird spoke at, and the law professor from U of L, and we had a thing, and then some people who were in favor of laws against abortion had that while he was there. So,
so that's a strong
always
point.
Being involved in making, trying to make the world a better place, I think.
Well.
So I think all the ministers have done that in their own ways, and they had different strengths.
Just some water.
That's it.
Well, thank you for your time. Thank you for your memories, and I really appreciate it.
You're welcome.